Cape Talk. Car Talk.
So an earlier than usual edition of Car Talk, but one thing that hasn't changed is our guest, Chira de Siena of cars.co.za, who's standing by to answer your motoring queries on 021-446-0567. A reminder that if you've got a question, you're also welcome to send it as a voice note to 072-567-1567. Chira, always great to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Hi, yes, thanks for having me.
Now, we often get asked questions about entry-level cars that aren't going to blow the budget, and I believe you've actually spent the morning playing around with a couple of the contenders in that segment. Tell us a little bit about what you've been driving.
Sure, I'm spending all day with them, and we spent all day shooting them yesterday as well. It's one of the biggest comparisons we've ever shot for our YouTube channel, or written for our motoring content section on our site. So, five of South Africa's most affordable cars. Today we have the Renault Kwid, Suzuki Solario, Datsun Go, Mahindra KUV, and Kia Picanto. So, if any of those are on your radar, I have some information for you. I suppose we should start with the pricing.
Yep.
And from most affordable to most expensive, it's the Mahindra at 138,000, up to the Suzuki for just under 140. Then we're on to a tie between the Kwid and the Go for 149. And then the Kia Picanto is the most expensive, but at 155. But to be honest, I've just driven them all back to back. The Kia is leagues ahead of all of them. And, it's so great to drive cars back to back because, you know, sometimes you drive a Kia Picanto in March and then you drive a Mahindra in June and you can't really compare the two, sort of reliably. So back to back has been great. And in terms of sort of, if I had to choose a car to live with every day, to drive every day, it would definitely be the Kia. You know, it's about the sort of road noise, wind noise, the sound of the engine, which just very little of it making it into the cabin. It's quiet in here and it's comfortable, and the way it handles, imperfections in the road and bumps in the road is definitely the most impressive of the lot. So the Kia is really standing out today.
Okay, it's really interesting to get this feedback, as you say, in a segment that I know many of our audience members are really interested in. We're going to go through each of the cars and chat a little bit about the pros and cons and various factors. And then if anybody's got a question about any of those particular models, please take this opportunity to call in on 021-446-0567. Okay, so in terms of drivability and comfort in the car, the Kia is the standout for you. How do they stack up in terms of fuel efficiency, Chira?
All very close. They're all within 0.5 of a liter of each other on paper. So, for instance, the Kwid and the Solario on paper, 4.7 to the 100. Kia, for instance, at 5 liters to the 100. But, you know, on paper, not really what you get in the real world. And the car that's really shining here is the Suzuki, which is fairly typical for Suzuki, to be honest. They really do have very efficient engines. And we're getting, as a test team, we're getting a real-world average of 5.4 liters to the 100, whereas, for instance, in the Datsun Go, we're getting a 6.4. So that's a whole liter per 100 difference out in the real world. And that, over time, is really going to make a difference. And that really is what the Suzuki's got going for it. I would say the Suzuki is, even though, you know, it is 15,000 Rand cheaper than, say, the Kia, but the interior does feel it. You know, the quality of the plastics. I mean, a lot of the plastics are already scratched in the Solario, sort of where you might put your keys, kind of under the radio. And the thing that also bothers me in the Solario is you have to fit an aftermarket radio, which the dealer could do for you, but it just doesn't look good. You know, this kind of small radio not fitting terribly well into the dashboard. And I mean, you could go out and spend and get the most amazing touchscreen aftermarket radio, but it's just never going to look as good as one that the manufacturer designed and fitted to the car. Yeah.
Okay. So for the Suzuki, the fuel efficiency standing out. What about the Renault Kwid? Is there anything in particular that gets a thumbs up from you?
No.
Okay. That's an honest answer.
I really don't like the Kwid. I mean, infotainment's really good. It's got a very good 7-inch color touchscreen with full of features, and that is important these days, you know, Bluetooth streaming your music and calls, which is something, for instance, you're not going to get in the Solario unless you buy a high-tech aftermarket radio. But in terms of the way the Kwid drives, it just doesn't feel safe to me. And I have to say that up front that all four cars except the Kia has ABS. And to me, the fact that the Kia doesn't is really problematic. And I don't think you can put a car on sale in South Africa these days which doesn't have ABS. And I think the way, you know, the way I think about it, and I think the way that most people should think about it, and I have been in a major accident, is that the best way to not be hurt in an accident is to not be in an accident in the first place. And the best way to avoid an accident is to have dynamic safety systems. And the best one is ESP, which none of these cars have, electronic stability control. But all four of them except the Kia have ABS. And particularly in the wet, if you don't have ABS and you lock up the tires, you are in real trouble. You can't steer the car. You can't avoid a collision. And in a country like ours where we have massive road fatality issue and casualty issue, I just... And it's heartbreaking for the Kia because it is the best car here, definitely. But I couldn't buy it. I personally could not live with a car without ABS.
Well, you are preaching out of Wendy Nola's hymn book. And after 2 o'clock, she's going to be talking us through the latest car safety crash test results. And this is one of the things that they flagged, Shiro, is that there are still far too many cars that have not got those additional safety features as standard in South Africa. And you've hit the nail on the head. In a country which has such massive slaughter on the roads every year, you would think that we would be pushing for them to be the standard, and yet we're not. So it's a hugely important issue that you've raised there. What about that Datsun Go? Any redeeming features or particular things that make it stand out?
Yeah, I mean, you'll remember when the Datsun Go first came out, it was in the it was on the front page of the newspapers for the really wrong reasons. I mean, if Euro NCAP could give negative ratings, I think the first Datsun Go would have got negative. No airbags, no ABS, terrible structural integrity in the passenger cell. You know, your chances of getting hurt or having a life-threatening injury in the original Datsun Go was really problematic. And so now we're looking at two airbags, one for the driver, one for the passenger. There's ABS. And I think I stand to be corrected on this, and maybe Wendy can give you an answer, but I think that the passenger cell has been strengthened since the first iteration of the Datsun Go. That's worth checking up on. And it's one of the top cars here for me today because it's really, really well spec'd. So, for instance, in the Solario, you get windy windows. In the Datsun Go, you get electric all round. And in the Kia, you get manual mirror adjustment, whereas in the Datsun Go, it's electric. And the Datsun Go has a fantastic infotainment system with some features that I really like, such as Android Auto and Apple CarPlay, which is definitely where the world's going in terms of how you connect your car to your phone and how you sort of manage your digital life in your car while you're driving in a safe manner. So the fact that it's the cheapest car in South Africa with those technologies, it really speaks a lot to how Nissan have thrown some value in. And also where the Datsun really shines is you get a 6-year, 150,000 kilometer warranty, which is the best warranty here. But all that being said, to me, the Datsun Go doesn't feel like the kind of car that I would keep for 6 years. I think after 3 or 4 years, if you've done a lot of mileage especially, I think that car is going to feel quite tired. So it might be the sort of car where if you're planning to flip it and get out of it and into something new in about 3 years, might be one of the better choices. But I don't think it's one of those cars you're going to keep and hand down to maybe somebody in sort of 6-7 years' time.
Okay. The one we haven't mentioned in detail is the cheapest of the bunch, the Mahindra KUV100. Mm. You said 138,000 rand. So the big question is, what's missing from the sort of 10 or 12,000 rand difference there?
So I looked, you know, I had a quick look at it now. Funnily enough, it's the only car I actually haven't driven yet. I was due to drive it just after I spoke to you. And, you know, first impressions are that it has that aftermarket radio problem, which bothers me. It really does. It just makes the whole interior, it really brings it down a few notches. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, my colleagues tell me that actually the second best car here to drive after the Kia, which I think is pretty high praise, actually. And also the Mahindra offers something different in that if you're looking for sort of SUV styling and a higher ride height, then it's the only car here that offers that. You do need to spend a little bit more money if you want the Mahindra to look good. For instance, in the spec we have it at that price, it's got these pretty unattractive steel wheels, which if it doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother you. But aesthetically, it's not particularly pleasing from the outside. And that also for me, it goes from a general design perspective. I think it's quite an awkward looking car, but I suppose, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Hmm. So it is really good value though. I will give Mahindra that. And, you know, it also has a 5-year warranty, although it's worth keeping in mind that it's a 3-year full warranty and then the last 2 years are powertrain only. So that's something to keep in mind.
Okay. Well, a WhatsApp from someone saying, I've just recently hired a Renault Kwid and I agree with Chiro. It was a terrible drive. I would rather save an extra couple of thousand rand and buy a slightly older Ford Fiesta or something like that. That raises a good question, Chiro. So we're talking here about cars that are in the sub 150 or 160,000 rand price tag. If you were in that budget range, would you go for one of these cars new, or would you rather say, I'll spend it on a second-hand model that's got a couple of extra safety features, for example?
Yeah, it's a really tough one. And, you know, I'm running out of time. Look at that. Maybe we can talk about this. For me, the Kia is the no-brainer, except for that ABS problem. And I really hope that Kia South Africa can sort that out and either bring in some new models with ABS, or I'm not sure of the technicalities of retrofitting it. So if it was a new Kia versus any second-hand car, then that would be that for me. Compared to all the other cars, it would probably be a 50-50 decision for me as to whether to look at something on the second-hand market and maybe try to find, like, for instance, a 2 or 3-year-old Suzuki Swift or a Mazda 2 or a Kia Rio, for instance, which I also really like. It's a tough one, and I think that it's going to be up to the audience member, the particular motorist, how they spend their money. But what I would recommend is really do your research, drive the cars back-to-back. You know, I would literally go from the Ford dealership and drive the Fiesta and drive straight to the Mahindra dealership or whatever it is and drive the KUV. And that way you'll get a real sense of what you're prepared to live with. And then, of course, if you are going to, you know, some of these cars also don't have they have optional service plans, which you can bolt onto the financing. But if you are going to not take that option, then you need to be aware that you'll have servicing costs incurred as well. So, and that's probably not something you're going to get on the secondhand market either. And of course, you'll have reduced warranty time. So it's a tough decision. And I think that before you make the decision, really, really put in the hours and do the research.
Okay. Thanks so much. So Chiro, final question before we move on is, how long does it take to get a video like this onto your YouTube channel? I'm sure the listeners are going to be interested in watching what you've put together based on your experience today. When should they be looking on the cars.co.za site for that?
So we try for a 2-week turnaround. This is a big shoot. It's a 2-day shoot with 3 cameras. So that's basically 6 cameras worth of footage, which my poor editor has to wade through and cut out all my fluffs when I'm talking in the car. And there's a fair amount of PT that has to go into all of this. But yeah, I would say 2 weeks from now is probably when it'll be on the channel.
Okay, so keep your eye on the YouTube channel for cars.co.za. All right, we're going to move on to this week's listener question. And then there are 1 or 2 other ones coming in on the SMS line. We'll try and squeeze in if we can. The question of the week came in from Theo in Komiki, Chiro, and revisiting a topic we have spoken about a few times before, but I think it is an important one. His question is, why are diesel cars still being promoted in South Africa when in Europe they're being scaled back quite radically?
It's simply because we have terrible emissions regulations. You know, Europe is on Euro 6 or 6.4, if I'm not mistaken. South Africa emission standards, legally speaking, are on Euro 2, which is a standard which debuted in Europe in 1999.
Sure.
That's how far back we are when it comes to legislation around this issue. And it just means that the manufacturers can take advantage of it. Now, most of them don't. You know, for instance, Ford, their ranges are all Euro 4 compliant, and they do that optionally, and I think that's great. I think we're also looking at a situation where, for instance, electric infrastructure is not great in South Africa, and it's going to be a while until we get widespread EV adoption. So a lot of people in Europe, I think, especially in countries like Norway, are looking at traditionally powered cars with internal combustion engines, and they're looking at electric cars, which are getting cheaper and cheaper all the time, and they're moving on. So that's not really going to happen here, which means that there's more interest in petrol and diesel powered cars. Diesel also makes a lot of sense, unfortunately, if you are in a bucky, for instance. You know, if you're in an LCV, then it really does make sense to have a diesel. Also, these big luxury SUVs as well, they're really thirsty now. Their diesel engines are really good. I would say, in manufacturer's defense, that the diesels that they're putting on the road today have incredible technology which cleans up those emissions and gets rid of all the harmful substances which would have come out of your tailpipe and which still come out of your tailpipe in cars like, you know, the Toyota Hilux, for instance, which doesn't have those systems. So I feel a bit more at ease talking and promoting a brand new diesel car than I do a slightly older one. And I do think that there's enormous political will in Europe to change the status quo, because the reality is that emissions are harmful to public health, and it is costing lives, and it's costing the state a lot of money. I think South Africa has some really difficult challenges right in front of our faces that we have to deal with, and I think there's fairly low political willpower to deal with that specific issue, and it means that the legislation around emissions is probably not going to change anytime soon.
Okay, quick follow-up. Somebody commenting on the SMS line that it might also be linked to our quality of diesel, that we don't actually have the quality of diesel for Euro 5 vehicles because of the type of diesel in this country. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm actually really glad to be reminded of that. It's increasingly less of a problem, especially in city centers. But yeah, if you are going to be outside of metro areas for significant periods of time, then we do have a fuel quality issue in this country. And some manufacturers won't even take the chance on their best diesels. And, you know, even though we have the sort of, if I'm not mistaken, we have the correct sulfur content in our diesel these days, or not as low as it could be, but it's not bad. There's some cars out there where the manufacturers just say to themselves, well, it's just not worth it, because if this car comes over and the fuel's not great and you have major engine problems, then we're going to have major warranty claims, and there's just no business case. So yes, we do miss out on some of the best diesels actually in the world, unfortunately.
Okay, thanks very much for a very interesting segment today. Cheers.